This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! All right. Welcome to your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. I may sound like I'm on some type of psychotropic drug because one of my panelists gave it to me to calm me down because I wasn't quite so calm a few moments ago. But we are going to have a wonderful show tonight because it is number 40. 40 it is. 40th episode of the Main Event. Let me bring in my panel. The conscience of Place to Be Nation and the guy who gave me this strange, silly pill, Mr. Steve Willey. Hi, Steve.
I can't even dispense drugs, so I just gave you what I had in my cabinet.
Nice job. Is this what...
Episode 40, the Gale Sayers episode, the Rick Sutcliffe episode. I've been saving these up.
Yeah. The Luke Longley. No, he wasn't 40. He can be 40, though, if you'd like. Thanks for being with us, Steve.
It's a pleasure.
Next, the Boogie of the Bayou. Co-host of NBA's... I can't keep this up. Co-host of NBA's... I'm going to try to do this for an hour and a half. Co-host of NBA's Team Podcast with the psychotropic Adam Murray, Mr. Andrew Reich.
And this episode is going to be celebrating WrestleMania 40, in which the main event is John Cena versus Randy Orton.
Which Jay Hinchey will love. So you
once
watch
in
your
a
tongue.
Lifetime. Once in a lifetime.
Which Jay Hinchey will love. So bite your tongue.
It is once in a lifetime, because by the time we get there, we're all going to be dead. And still going to be wrestling each other.
Well, thanks for bringing my mood up. All right, Reach, pleasure as always. And finally, the guy that always puts me in a good mood, even if he is the biggest douche on the planet. No, I love him to death. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Whoa. You know, Steve gave me something, too, and I've had an erection for 7 hours. So.
That was a placebo, buddy.
I guess I should. That's called following Lana's it's called following Lana's Instagram. you just immediately changed my mood, Jordan. Thank you for ruining the fucking show. All right, no, I'm just kidding. Guys, pleasure as always. All right, well, obviously it's been a very busy news week in professional wrestling. We will talk about Hulk Hogan, sadly, but we're gonna attack it from many angles. We're not just gonna say racist pig, move on to the next story, because there is some kind of multifaceted branches to this tree. That
it's
we'll discuss tonight.
Too, so.
Well, that too, yeah. Well, which is kind of weird, I guess. I mean, he did help Eugene. Oh, wait. No, Eugene had other issues. Never mind. So we will we'll talk.
Episodes, all right.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. Also today, good timing, was the quarterly conference call with Vince McMahon and all of the investors about things going on. And, you know, it's a three-pronged situation, you know, merchandising and the such, of course, TV ratings, and of, obviously the network. Network thumbs up, ratings thumbs down. What does that mean for a lot of, you know, for different aspects of the company? We'll talk about that as well. And any other news and notes that may pop up. Destination America seems to be flushing all of wrestling down the toilet. I always thought it was kind of an experiment for them anyway, but, you know, we'll talk about that as well. But first, let's get into the main story of the week, or of the last week and a half, I guess, and that was the releasing just about a week ago. I guess it was last Friday that there was a tape from, I guess it was 2012, that released Hall of Famer and multi-time world champion Hulk Hogan spewing various racist epithets. Epitaphs. WWE jumped all over it, fired him. Not that he really had much of a job there anyway. Rescinded his Hall of Fame. Get to that in a minute. And otherwise kind of what many people consider the Chris Benoit treatment, which I don't totally think he got. But I got to say one thing before I go around the horn. If this was like 12 years ago, I'd probably be really surprised. I'd be stunned, heartbroken. Now, though, we've all kind of figured out Hulk Hogan's kind of a screwball and not exactly, you know, the brightest bulb in the Christmas tree sometimes. So this doesn't totally shock me. What do you think, yeah. Willie? Did it really shock you when you heard about it?
Well, to clarify one thing, Hogan's just taken off the Hall of Fame page. He's still technically in the Hall of Fame as of right now. He was just off the page on the website.
All right. I still think
I think they're just trying to put him off the website so no one gets it. But you can still watch his Hall of Fame ceremony on the network. So
good. Woohoo! No, that's all right. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I was it didn't surprise me. It's kind of odd. Like, I'm not really surprised. If this was like 12 years ago and it was something he said, say, in 90, say this was 2003 and we found he said something in like 97, like during the height of the NWO, I'd have been like, wow, really? Man. But now I'm like, I read his book. I read both his books, the crappy kayfabe one that WWE released. And then I read that other one, which is just as bad. And I'm like, you know what? Really doesn't surprise me. What do you think?
Well, I mean, he's done anything just to keep his name around, whether it's, you know, reality shows, you know, showing up on whatever wrestling company will have him, you know, trying to fund his daughter's singing career and mm-hmm. draining money and, you know, kind of the despicable stuff that was going on with his son and the car accident with the son's mm-hmm. the son's friends a few years back.
Yep. Yep.
He wasn't exactly on the up and up there.
Nope.
And, you know, remember back in those days, too, it wasn't exactly up and up with the roids and the, mm-hmm. you know, throwing Vince on, you know, Vince deserved it, but testifying against Vince.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not exactly like the character you perceive on TV. Shout out to our guy, Nick Duke, who huge Hogan fan. But seems to have a cool head about him, thinking, you know, he's not his character. The character is awesome. The guy himself, kind of a jerk.
Yeah, I think we always thought that, though, too.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, like you said, is it really that surprising? No.
Yeah, not really either. What do you think, Reed?
You know, we talk about how in the WWE and how Triple H has kind of like made it a moniker that we're kind of in the reality era of things. And it's not like Hulk Hogan as a character has evolved with the reality era, even though it's because he's been retired for so long. I know he had a couple of matches at TNA, but you know, his prime is so far past. And even though he's still on a first name basis with pretty much every household in America, even before the controversy happened, mm-hmm. You know, the reality era that we're in with professional wrestling, we, you know, and you could probably say this also with, you know, with athletes and professional sports and maybe some celebrities and musicians as well, is that we connect the characters so much more now to the real life person. Whereas, you know, people, I think maybe 10 or 15 years ago probably would have said, well, you know, Terry Bollea is a, you know, a racially charged piece of shit, but I still like Hulk Hogan, and this is just a real life situation that shouldn't affect a fictional atmosphere, which is the exact excuse that Vince McMahon used, or WWE did for that matter, when they tried to explain, you know, in a half-assed way, you know, when Vince McMahon said the N-word, you know, to Booker T, you know, back in that old clip at Survivor Series, you know, and they used that same excuse, but for Hogan, you know, under the WWE moniker, there was no way he was going to hide from that, because WWE is a publicly traded company. They're not in a position in which they could try to defend Hogan, who was expendable as it was, mm-hmm. and they had to cut their ties. But, you know, when you have this monolithic figure like a Hulk Hogan, I mean, Terry Bollea and Hulk Hogan are just one and the same. They always have been. For professional wrestlers, they're always in this mode of, no matter what you do, even if it's in the absolute closest of privacies in your bedroom, regardless of whether you're cheating on your wife or saying something racist or saying something that's, you know, like a gay slur, you know, you are still Hulk Hogan. So if you're the one that says something really rotten, you know, you're not only are you as a person going to suffer, your character and the public relation around your character is going to suffer. And I think Hogan, you know, I think Hogan became a victim of his own fame, to be honest with you.
It's entirely possible.
And he's his whole position is that he's the public goodwill ambassador of WWE.
Yes.
So, like, it was...
With the Be A Star and...
biggest no-brainer to fire
Susan
him ever.
Kamen, yeah. Or Komen, I'm sorry.
What did he call her? Remember, he got the Susan Komen wrong?
Yeah, he called her the Silverdome.
He called her the Silverdome.
He called her Mrs. Silverdome.
He called her Chris Kamen.
Wow, imagine Susan G. Komen with all those tats. Oh, wait, that's the other guy. Never mind. Wait, does Chris Kamen have tats? I'm thinking of Chris Anderson, right?
Chris Kamen has Hulk Hogan's hair, basically.
He has a travel show on AXS TV. I'm not even making that up.
Oh, God. That's hilarious. JD, Chris how long will this exile last?
Well,
this isn't murdering your family. I mean, to preface that, if I get shit for it, whatever. That's why I'm here.
It's
the Exile
not,
podcast
you know what?
Will last 5 hours.
What's that?
The Exile podcast, it will last 5 hours.
It'll last, yes. Yes.
God. It's not murdering your family, but I'll tell you one thing. I mean, this is about a week later now. Hulk's not doing himself any favors. Hulk Hogan needs to erase himself from Twitter, just like he's been erased from the WWE.com website. He's making himself look worse. If you guys see some of his tweets, he'll retweet the people who are like, Hulk Hogan's a great person. He's not a racist. It's almost like the equivalent of being like, hey, look, I have a black friend. You know what I mean? Like, I really think he's
that's funny the way he said
he's
that.
Not doing himself any favors in
right,
that
right,
sense.
Right. Usually you just need to go on like silence, radio silence.
That's exactly
you know?
What he needs to do. He needs to kind of copy what WWE has done and just say, you know what, he's not here for a while. And he needs to say, you know what, I'm not here for a while either. And he needs to shut up and be quiet for a while. And I think the quicker he does that, the quicker he will come back. Because I do think, I hate to say, oh, it'll blow over. But I do think there's a chance you'll see him again down the road in some capacity. Just because we as people are quick to... I would say we're quick to forgive. Maybe we're not. I don't know. I think it depends on the celebrity. It depends on the incident. And as more comes out, if it comes out that he really was, you know, that Gawker released it and they really did try to sandbag him, he may almost look like a victim as well. He's not. I don't think he is a victim. Maybe his rights have been violated, but he still said the stuff that he said, which is pretty ugly and dirty and nasty stuff. Mm-hmm. But to say how long, I don't know. It'll be a while. It'll be a while. But I think in this situation, because of how big of a name he is, I don't think the door's closed and locked. I think it's shut, but the door's unlocked. You know what I mean? I think one day he may be back. I don't know, though. He's pretty old. I mean, what drawing power does he have to bring back, you know?
Well, I mean, yeah. And the same thing, look, we've gone long gaps without Hogan. I mean, you know, the 4 years that he wasted his life in TNA. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really give two craps. I mean, yeah, we could have turned on TNA, but who really did? So
I mean, if it doesn't cost Vince money and it makes some money, Hulk Hogan will be back. Right now, it's going to cost him money to put Hulk Hogan on screen.
Right.
Or on his website or anything like that.
And Jordan clarifies a good point about was the way that the footage, you know, taken in by Gawker or TMZ or National Enquirer, whoever got that tape from the testimony that was in that lawsuit, and if it was sealed, if the way they did it, the way they got the information was probably despicable and something where they could probably go to jail. But it's like any document that gets out, whether it was the baseball steroid scandal or mm-hmm. you know, Woodward and Bernstein, it's a Machiavellian approach. It doesn't matter how the information got into the public. If it's out, you're done.
It's there. Yep.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
And, you know, we had people on our live chats and some other Facebook threads, which isn't exactly, you know, most of them aren't exactly Rhodes Scholar. Some of them could barely spell. But a lot of people talked about the whole privacy thing, and my opinion on that's always been, once you're a celebrity, it's kind of a double-edged sword. You want the fame, you want the money,
yeah.
You want the notoriety,
then in essence, you give up your privacy. Yeah.
That's why they take a lot of those lawsuits on with the UK tabloids, because celebrity rights are much more protected by the Privacy Act than in the United States.
Right, and we're not here to argue about the Patriot Act or you know, recording or any of that jazz.
I will say, do you think this is the payoff to GTV that we've been waiting for many, many years? Gawker was GTV.
Well, if Vince was still in his sick bastard mode, I could see like a Goldust doing racist Tourette's.
I rewatched some of those with the Jerry Springer show that they have, and my favorite is still when Venus, Val Venus, and Big Show are peeing at the urinal. Goes, they call you the Big Show. That, and they just smacks him on the wall on the urine. That's my favorite GTV of them all.
Yes. The other one I think is the one where Vince is taking a leak and Coach walks in and goes, and Vince turns around and pees on his pants.
That was DX, huh?
Was that DX or was that GT? I think it was DX. But still, though, that was the best hidden camera thing in the history of, even though there's cameras in every room for every skit. But anyway.
I'll also say, if Hogan's been removed from the Hall of Fame page and he's given up his ring to Abyss, does that mean Abyss is technically taking his spot in the Hall of Fame? Because Hulk's in the
only way. The only way he'll get into any Hall of Fame, I suppose. But
yeah, I think so.
But can we be serious?
Still toiling away in TNA.
Serious about the Hall of Fame thing, though? If our criteria is that we have to remove people,
then they all got to go.
Beings from the Hall of Fame. I don't know if anyone other than maybe William Shatner would be in the Hall.
I mean, we could. Sorry, Willie. What was that?
Shatner and Drew Carey. I was going to say.
Yeah. I think, certainly not Sonny. We'll get to her in a minute.
Fabulous. Fabulous Moolah is the one that popped in my head, man. If you read about her, she was a scumbag. Like, the scummiest wrestler I think I've ever read about.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of, but I mean, we could cross this over into baseball, football, I mean, Pete Rose, all that kind of jazz. Oh, yeah. But this is, you know, non-kayfabe, you know. Who's on my good side? Want to go in the Hall of Fame, Aldo Montoya? Sure.
Aldo Montoya.
Wait, he's in the Click. No, he's not really in the Click. He sleeps outside.
That would be a really tough deal. Just Incredible gets the call. He says, "You're going to the Hall of Fame, but it has to be as Aldo Montoya.
You need to give your Hall of Fame speech with a jock strap on your face
in Portuguese."
In Portuguese. Now, has anybody now in terms of the network, which is really right now the only thing anybody really gives a shit about in terms of this? They got rid of Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling, which upset me a little because I hadn't gotten to watch all of them again. But that's okay. I know Justin stopped watching because there's way too much Lou Albano on them. But has anybody looked at like pay-per-views that they, you know, unpipped as matches? And to use – it's a new terminology because on this show I get to make words up. The pip is the little dot that's on the timelines of all pay-per-views, and that's at least my terminology for it. And you notice that Chris Benoit matches don't have a pip. They're there, and you can watch them, as I've watched throughout all my chronology of watching – the WCW pay-per-views, but you can't search them out. You've got to kind of dig for them.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen a pay-per-view, a Hogan pay-per-view, where the pip's gone and you got to go digging for him? Has anybody looked? Anybody listening, check it out and let us know. If you go to WrestleMania 1, is the last match, like, just not, you know, is there no little dot? Is it just, like, a long gap? Interesting.
And on the Roku and... like the Apple devices, that those pips, and every time you say pip, I think of Tiny Parv.
I know.
Those aren't even a thing anyway. They're not on there. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just have to go forward and back like a
DVR. If you're on your computer, on your desktop or laptop, the pips are there. So I'm curious. Anyway, I doubt they were moved because they'd have to move like a billion years worth, and I don't think they really give a shit enough to do that. Now, what's the statute of limitations of wearing something Hogan? Look, I got four Hogan t-shirts in the other room.
Statue of limitations.
A statue of limitations. There's a statue outside that just says limitations, and it's George Duncan. you are a billboard of limitations. Like, if you walked down the street, like, right now and saw a guy wearing, like, a Hulk Rules t-shirt, would you, like, look at him and go, "You racist pig"? And then in a year, you look at it and go, "Oh, all right, Hogan t-shirt." Like, is there a timeline before you can pull out your Mega Powers t-shirt and not be looked at as, like, a, you know?
Ooh.
Is there a line for that, too? Reesh?
Can I make it up?
Sure.
And I will be the arbiter of all things?
Well, you are the conscience, so when I disappoint you, we all just melt. So
I'd say a year. I think a year would be okay.
Okay. All right. Now, Mega Powers, I think there should be a qualifier because it is half savage. So maybe I'll rip the shirt in half. Maybe I'll pull the Hogan
shirt
in half. Yeah,
you're only half racist.
You're only race. Harley race.
I don't know. I think Hogan is so blended in nostalgia at this point that I think people would probably wear it, and no one would probably people might give him like a second look just because of the relevancy of how, you know, how recent the events have been. But I think people would still do it. Now, if you wore a Confederate flag on top of it, then I would ask some questions.
Even better. Well, then I think people are just looking for a fight. There's a difference there. And then you're looking to be called out.
Let me tell you, Southeast Louisiana, I still see those Confederate flags waving proudly. Trust me, right off their trucks.
Oh, my gosh, Wisconsin, I see them.
Yeah, and I dare, and you know what? I dare anybody to walk up to it and try to take it off. It would not end well, I'll tell you right now. All right, so now let me ask this. Let's go a step further. Hulk Hogan is a retired guy. He hasn't been relevant in eons in terms of in-ring. He hasn't wrestled a match that matters since, what, SummerSlam 06 when he fought Orton. I believe that was his last match, not counting all the pieces of crap he wrestled in TNA. What if Randy Orton was caught on tape saying racist things? I won't say it's like John Cena, because that's a ridiculous example.
You know what fans would say? They would say, "That's our Randy."
Yeah, and then people like Jordan be like, "Good riddance, get off TV."
With Hulk Hogan, there's still people.
See what I mean?
With Hogan, there's still people that are, you know, brainwashed, you know, enough into it to think, "Oh man, I can't believe Hulk Hogan is a really bad guy." Whereas with Randy Orton, if you saw it, you would think, "Ha, I thought so."
Wait a minute, Jordan, are you Gawker? Are you Willie the Worker?
Hey,
the Reddit guy. What's the Reddit guy? Met fan for life.
Dolphin or something, right?
I think it's Met Fan for Life. I think that's the guy that
I think you just implicated yourself then, Scott.
Oh, wait a minute.
I think
maybe I'm the Gawker. I would never do that.
I bet you anything that's the fat guy that used to pour the oil on himself.
Big Dick Johnson?
Yes, it's him.
What if that's, he came out fan. As a racist?
He's too creamy. I mean, that'd be tough because there's obviously, you know, black.
You know where I think really have some problems is, I think this was discussed maybe on the Kevin Kelly show, is if it was like Triple H or someone on the corporate side. Because with a wrestler, they can always just throw that independent contractor, he's gone, he spoke on his own volition type thing. But if it's somebody who represents the company, then I think it's a lot messier for them.
We already saw that with Michael Hayes, and all he did was get a slap on the wrist and rehab.
Yeah, but you know why, Reesh? Because Mark Henry's irrelevant.
But that doesn't mean that you could, you know, say...
But you're looking at it from a PR perspective. If it was...
That story never really got past wrestling fans.
Yeah, that's true. That's another reason, too, Reesh. You didn't see that
not even
Fox or anything like that.
Yeah.
That didn't get past Lords of Pain and
wrestling. I don't want to make it like 2008 was the good old days when we were walking into the... You know, we were walking to school and, you know, in snowshoes. But, you know, 2008 was different, you know, and wrestling was still a little bit categorized away from the TMZ stuff. Now there's an entire site dedicated to just sports gossip stuff for TMZ. And if you screw up, they got you.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestlers are not prone to this anymore. Right. Anytime, look at the X-Pac thing with the unfortunate injury that he had. I mean, that was all over TMZ.
Oh, and he ripped his asshole and whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, that one.
Happened to me about an hour ago. Honey barbecue wings from Buffalo Wild Wings tonight.
It was pulled pork for me.
Somebody tell me if I'm on Gawker tomorrow. I hope not.
You were just gawking. Anyway, we will. I mean, there's nothing really more to go about this. It was unfortunate, but you know he deserved what he got.
Yeah.
And frankly, when it comes to privacy, I'm sorry. When you're a celebrity, when you're just in every – because we had people on these chats railing about privacy and railing about the Patriot Act and all that jazz, and we're not going to debate that here. But when you are a celebrity, it's not like I get to take my fame and take or earn my money and I don't have to give anything back. That is dead wrong. You are not an everyday Joe living in Iowa City or Yakima or Kenosha, Wisconsin. I'm trying to impress you, Willie, knowing all of the towns in Wisconsin.
I am always impressed. You know quite a bit.
I know plenty of Wisconsin. Isn't that where that 70s show was? Wasn't that in Kenosha?
I believe so.
What a great fucking show.
Chicago's trying to co-opt Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Really?
It's basically another suburb.
Hmm. What's it, right on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So it's unfortunate. But let's be honest, all of these great wrestlers that we grew up loving in our, you know, as kids, they've all got demons. Look at Ric Flair. He's a drunk and he's been married like 11 times, but he's still Ric Flair. I don't have to care that he got married 11 times. Well, no, I don't. As a wrestling fan, I care about the fact he's a 16-time world champion. He's one of my favorite guys of all time. He wants to be a drunk and, you know, cheat on his wife and be married to 15 different blondes. Whatever. It's not my problem. Same thing with Hulk Hogan. You know, in 5 years when this is up, yeah, I'll put on a Hulk Hogan match. Doesn't mean I'm a racist, but, you know, we'll throw in a Hulk Hogan match. Everybody watches Chris Benoit. Doesn't mean we, you know, we advocate throwing your body full of roids and, you know, doing, I'm not going to go into the details, but we throw in a Chris Benoit match and we move on. That's just the way it is. You know, doesn't mean we advocate it, but that's why WWE puts that disclaimer on the screen that says.
Here's a deeper question. Does all of this affect how you watch a Hulk Hogan match?
No.
Not for me, not at all.
No. No.
No, it's not even like, you know,
you'll 5% see themes and or memes, whatever those stupid.
Maybe if he's fighting Virgil or somebody.
That's yeah. Bad
news. No wonder Bad News Brown never won the world title.
It's like, I knew he wouldn't trust him.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
So anyway, let's
I would say too, like, if you're the type who's using this to take a stance against, you know, the media dictating things or something, take a step back and understand that if you're Team Hogan in all this, understand what team you're actually saying you're rooting for there, because read what the guy said, and it's pretty ugly.
It is very ugly. Yeah.
There's better arguments to take, and he said some pretty bad stuff that I would not want to side with under any circumstance.
The conversation he has when he goes to his old house and he says somebody's living there. And
yeah, that came out a couple days later.
That one I took worse than the racism, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right. Let's go over the earnings call today with the investors from WWE headquarters in Stamford. Vince McMahon, George Barrios. God, I feel like he's been there like 50 years.
Yeah, right.
I think that's actually Tootsma in an alias. He dumped somebody over the Port Authority barge. And Michael Weitz? Maybe he's one of the attorneys. All right, the call opens with Weitz going over the basics. I'm probably going to get killed for that, but I don't care. Going over the basics.
That's the best guy to bring out during this.
Yeah, bring out the Weitz. Bring out
Fritz von Erich. All right, this takes. Hey, you know, there's interesting. That guy walked around with a Nazi cape. It is amazing, though, how society has changed. This is the 1960s. He's walking around with a goose step and a Nazi cape. Back then they were all like, boo, bad guy. Not like, you know, any Jewish Americans in the crowd going, you know, oh, my God, I'm reminded of.
And look how it's even changed just the past decade. JBL goose steps. And I think he didn't even get a slap on the wrist. Chris Jericho tears up the Brazilian flag.
Well, that story that we chase Mexicans off the border. I mean, you know, it's like.
And that was 2004. That wasn't like eons ago, you know.
Well, the big difference there is that's all storyline. You can just write that off and say, oh, that was poor taste.
Yeah.
This is pillow talk where he's like, you know, I won't even say what he said, but, you know. I mean, it really was. There's a guy laying in bed almost like bragging about his hatred for
JD's pillow talk about people in the live chats. All right.
Let me tell you about Brett Carlson, brother.
Brett Carlson. We love you, Brett Carlson. Brett Carlson. Damn you, Eric Cafiero. Nah. You're good. You're a good guy, Eric, and all of our and most of our friends on the live chats. All right, so Vince takes over, touts. I remember tout. Didn't you need a camera? Touts the strong growth.
I don't know if Vince remembers tout.
Touts the strong growth in the
always on thousands of touts.
Do you think Vince had that one of his two tone ties on? I think he does it on purpose just to annoy people's eyes. Now those the two tone tie
and a Tommy two tone tie. There's an old reference. I felt like JBL right there.
Trivia question. If you dialed 867-5309, what would the other line be? Anybody know? Because it was a phone number.
Jenny?
It was not. There was no Jenny. Jesus, Willie, come on. Maybe there was an Officer Jenny, because that phone number was the Buffalo, New York Police Department.
Wow.
Yep. All right. So Vince takes over the call, touts the strong growth in the second quarter. He says they are definitely on the right path with WWE Network subscriptions. Willie, true or false? I'm just going to kind of bounce around like that. True or false on that sentence?
Well, they were shooting for 1 million, and they're over 1 million. I mean, that's what the number that they set up from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It's slightly down. from the end of the prior quarter. I think it was like 1.3, mm-hmm. and the average was like 1.2, so it's slightly down. But you know, they're passed, and those were paid numbers, correct? They weren't freebies thrown in there. So I
don't know. Was it?
Well, they had a count. They had a count on
probably
unique subscribers. Yeah. So.
And I think they're going to have more. You know, they're going to expand into different markets, and there was talk that Germany looked pretty good for people who were showing interest. So I think that's fine. You know, think about the numbers of people who are watching television these days and the ratings that people get. Impact, did they even have like 1 million people
Not even a quarter of that.
Oof. Yeah, so and even on Spike, they had like around 1 million people watching. So now for WWE, if you have 1.2 million paying to watch it.
Mm.
So, yeah, you know.
And in a lot of cases, they pay just to have it and they're not even watching it.
Yeah.
Paying to have it.
Which opens up the door to a couple other network things we'll talk about in the next segment. All right, Vince says they've had a lot of new content come to the WWE Network and says they are looking at doing a show similar to HBO's Hard Knocks, but will come up with a better name than that. Isn't that already shitty tough enough?
No, it's. I read about this. It's going to be following like NXT people around.
Hmm.
Which
your
I thought
on that, JD.
Cool.
What do you think?
I thought that's what Tough Enough was supposed to be in the first place.
Well, if that's what
Tough Enough is the show.
Tough Enough would be great, but Tough Enough sucks.
Tough Enough is meathead hacks who all know they're not going to make it in this business, stupid and nuts enough, they'll probably get hired eventually.
And can we call a spade a spade? And Chris Jericho is a shit.
Hulk Hogan does. Sorry, you opened the door for that, Grish. Oh, I'm sorry. You opened the door for that. Sorry.
And Renee Young's no better either, Andrew. Renee Young and Chris Jericho are so awkward on Tough Enough, and that's like the least of the show's problems. Biggest problem with that show, since I'm on that topic, is the people who are going to win are the worst wrestlers that are on the show. ZZ and Sarah Lee are going to win, and they both suck. So, anyways.
Oh, by the way, JD, on a side note, the doctor's wife watches Big Brother. Is everybody mad about this Pee Wee Herman guy on the block, the one that looks like Pee Wee Herman? That's what she's doing.
Yeah, just because he's
on who's this wrestler named Judas? Who the hell's that?
I don't know. He was apparently, I guess he was in FCW a while back, yeah. Not Judas Macias. It's not
Judas Macias.
No. He doesn't even look like... I mean,
Judas Macias has done quite well for himself.
No, that guy, he kind of has like Adam Rose's body. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a little bigger looking, but okay. I don't know. Yeah, anyways.
Yeah, I'm curious. Cause,
I would dig a Hard Knocks type thing. You know, if it was more like that E60 episode than Tough Enough, that would be awesome. You know, where they followed Adam Rose and Xavier Woods around. That would be great, great stuff.
Do you think that if they did like a... Let me ask you this. Let me ask everybody this before we move on. If they did that with certain people whose images are bad in the business, do you think it would help? Perfect example. A day in the life of Stephanie. And you see her with the girls, with Aurora and et cetera. And you see Triple H as a dad and that kind of thing. Do you think that would help her image a bit? Or do you think nobody...
If it's authentic... If it's authentic, it would. But I think that they might be...
They might overpimp it?
And they might be a little too anxious to manufacture some of it.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, I think there's some people in that company that, in terms of like sympathy, have jumped the shark.
Well, it's kind of like Chris Lee, and then only Brad would be the one watching. all right. Vince talks about WWE's version of South Park, Camp WWE, and says it's very funny, especially the Mr. McMahon portion. Has that come on yet? That hasn't come on yet, right?
Oh, I don't think.
I don't think it's
mine. No,
right?
It's not. Okay. Yeah.
He says they're at 14 million unique U.S. viewers each week between Raw, SmackDown, Tough Enough, Total Divas, and the rest. He touts their social media followers. He says they're at over 400 million video views on Facebook, and then he turns the call over to George Barrios. Social media is a big deal. They've been very successful in that. They pimp and throw everything out there. Do you think the whole ad? Now they may talk about this later on down the line. Do you think the whole 14 million unique viewers to the shows? You think that's kind of fluffing it a bit, Willie? Because let's be honest, the ratings suck.
Yeah, I don't understand
so
how they.
That's just pure spin.
Yeah, I think that's pure spin. I don't know how they're coming up with that number. I was trying to do math in my head really quick. If you have
4 million for Raw,
I'm guessing 2 for SmackDown. I don't know.
And they're probably factoring in worldwide syndication yeah. type of viewership.
Scott said U.S. right? He said 14 million U.S.
14 million unique U.S. viewers. Easily.
Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
For just the television side, there's absolutely.
They're probably counting each hour.
Well, you know what they do. Yep, separately. I was just going to say what they do with Raw is they say 3 million watched hour one, 3 million watched hour two, 3 million watched hour three.
Well, that's how they used to get around with the cable ratings. They used to have Raw's War as the first hour, and then the second hour was called War Zone. Yeah. So that when you looked at the cable ratings, it looked like two different shows, like WWF was dominating when it was really just one show.
Right.
Yep. Yeah,
and they separate copyright, but they did a separate copyright to the end of the first hour.
Yes,
separate open.
It would have a
they
tag.
Did that on purpose, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, no, it's like when they would say that back in the Attitude Era, when there were 10 billion people watching wrestling at the time, you had people watching both shows. Right. That's not
right.
And
I like
did Nielsen stuff back then. You'd put them both down.
Right. Yeah, I like that line. Unique viewers, as if like 3 million people watch Raw from 8 to 9, and then. 3 million other people
watch, and then they go to bed the third hour.
And we're not in the Attitude Era anymore, but because of their corporate domination, you know, I don't think WWE as an entity has been healthier than they are now. You know, with the network, with their you know their social media imprint that they've put into the national spectrum. You know,
they're kind of on good terms with ESPN now.
Yeah, and you know all the tie-ins, and I think even with the other promotions that are out there, some are in dire straits. But in terms of like diversity, I think it's healthier now than it's been, you know, since the Attitude Era when everybody was watching any kind of wrestling they could get their hands on. And so I think in this case, I don't know if wrestling is not something that people are flocking viewership-wise to see, but I think. In terms of like the other ways that you can consume it, I think that wrestling's been doing themselves well, and WWE being on top of that and still dominating that market share, I think that's what's been their saving grace.
Barrios noted that the network generated more revenue than the annual pay-per-view business had in the past decade. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all.
That is 100% false.
That is absolutely false. You're telling me that all the people, all of us knuckleheads that spent like $40 a month for the last 10 years is less revenue than the last year and a half of the network? That's ridiculous.
They're trying to convince us that the increased price point is such an influential factor.
No, it's not.
Generating the revenue that they lost by the number of buys that they don't get in.
So what they're saying is they think that the $120 a month that we spend...
A year, not a month.
I mean, a year. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. A year is more than the, let's be generous, let's say 35 a month, I think. Let's say average during the last 10 years, because it did go up in like 2010, I think, right? So let's say $35 a month for 12 months, sometimes 13 pay-per-views. Somebody do the math in their head. I don't know. Anyway, 35 times 13.
That's a
lot. Is more... than $120 a year, period. So I don't know where the hell that sentence comes from.
Well, and even too,
am I overthinking that?
No,
that's right.
That's common sense.
Even
it
too, is. Most people, okay. Most people had abandoned buying monthly pay-per-views by the end there. But even if you still just got the Rumble, WrestleMania, and SummerSlam, you know that's 50, 40, and 40. You know what I mean? That's $130. So it's
right.
Still $10 more. You know that you spent
exactly.
So,
The Beast in the East special was the most watched network special.
I thought that was interesting.
Of pay-per-view events. Interesting, but not out of the ordinary. Two huge things. I mean, a fantastic Balor-Owens match. And CM Brock just to absolutely mangle Kofi Kingston.
The one thing you got to be careful with all these on-demand services is that there really is no, like, consistent barometer of, like, getting the data out there to where you can arbitrate it and make it not put out there by the company itself, like kind of like propaganda. You know, it's like Netflix. I don't see them put out data of how many views they're getting. So when somebody like the WWE says, "Well, everybody watched this NXT show more than any other show," well, how do we know that? Because you said it,
right?
You know, so I don't know. I'm a little wary when they say things like that. I'm not saying they're not telling the truth. I'm just saying I'm not absolutely sure.
I think the other thing people liked about that show is it just looked cool. You know, it just looked different. It looked like, you know, like the WCW Korea shows. Or it just had a neat look to it.
Yeah, it wasn't the biggest crowd, you know.
Didn't
and
need
it was,
to be. Didn't need to be. But yeah, you're right. But it didn't need to be. There's a, you know, now we're talking, and I think JR brought it up today or yesterday. This MSG house show coming up, I think it's October 3rd, that Brock is going to be at. Now, he made a good point. Seems to open the door. That will be live. Live on the network, 7 o'clock, that Saturday night.
Oh, I mean, people will definitely tune into that.
Definitely. It's the Garden. Definitely. And this may open the door to house show attendance going up. There's a house show here in Bridgeport the Friday before SummerSlam. So
it depends on what house.
I don't think Brock's going to Bridgeport.
No, he's not going to Bridgeport.
He's not
going to
battle, brother.
Not unless Mr. Saito's in Bridgeport for the night.
Barrios goes over numbers and talks about new network content being worked on. An NXT reality show, which we just talked about. The WWE studio show, Table 3. We've been talking about that. I mean, Justin and I brought that, have talked about that on our show like 3 years ago.
Like the sports center type show? Is that what that is?
They're going to have a segment on Table 3 where it's which gym bag has poop in it?
Yes.
Well, it's like the, is it Dinner for Five that was a few years ago? It was a Jon Favreau show where they
would
bring people in from different movies.
Smith and Ben Affleck, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. There's this show on MSG here in Northeast, a guy that does the same thing with like Knicks, former Knicks and former, you know, Rangers and that kind of thing. It's kind of neat.
So is it like a sports center type show or is it like a Tonight Show type atmosphere?
It's like
TNT but not as cheesy
I think it might be more in the vein of like that Click special that they had where they just had Sean, Paul, Nash and X-Pac and Triple H. They were just sitting there in a room.
So like inside the actor's studio type thing?
Maybe.
Right.
Yeah. They should get James Littman. That'd be great.
When I first heard about it, I thought they were going to be all at catering, like talking shit. I think that was
catering. Excuse me. That potato salad sucks. Hashtag gutted.
When they have Big Brother with the 24/7 on the Pop channel.
Right.
Like we could just have them just talk a bunch of crap.
Right.
And that would get on the network, and I think that would be fun.
Hmm. I would like to have a nightly show where, you know, maybe like on a Friday night, because Friday night's a big house show night. Maybe like on a Friday night. It doesn't have to be nightly, but a cool Friday night show where they bounce around. Like if they're in a cool area, they could talk about like the storylines and stuff legit, and then be like, well, guess what, guys? Let's go to Nassau Coliseum. John Cena is defending the U.S. title against a mystery opponent. Let's go to Byron Saxton in one of the NXT humps. Corey Graves or something. Let's go to Nassau, and then you go live to the house show, and there's a title match. You know, something like that. I think that'd be really neat. I think that'd be a cool studio concept. But that's like something that JR and I have talked about since like 2012. That if they ever did a network or a live channel, that would be something pretty cool. Now I don't know if that's what they're referring to, but it would be kind of neat.
Sit around the table, tell stories like the legends of WWE legends.
But what's funny is the things that a lot of people have liked about the network, they've stopped doing. They could do like 50 more WrestleMania rewinds, and they stopped at like what, 15? They could do like 40 of them if they really wanted to.
I think that all these new shows are the ones like your Swerves and your Unfiltered with Renee Young. Those are the ones that are getting all the views, so they're making
it's
more stuff with the current roster.
I think we as longtime fans think that we're the ones that they like, oh, give us what us longtime fans want. But I think they really want to connect with those younger fans. You know, when my kids watch the network, they don't watch WrestleMania 2 or a history of WrestleMania 2. You know what I mean? They'll watch stuff that they've seen, which might be it's all in the last 4 years.
JD, let me ask you guys this. JD and actually all three of you, since all three of you have kids. Do any of your kids watch that Slam City?
No.
No. Because it's not even good for kids.
Well, my son watched all of them, but there's so few of them. He stayed home from sick one day in school. He watched all of them in one afternoon.
Aren't they all only like 12 minutes? They're not half hours, right?
Not even that long.
Yeah, they're quick.
Like 6 minutes. Yeah.
And
he liked it, but like there's just so right. little of them.
Yeah. The
problem there is that – I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead, Reed.
But the problem there is that, you know, if you're going to do kids programming – and the WWE's done a million of them, not counting Flintstones and Scooby-Doo and things like that, things that might be entertaining in some way – the kids programming market is so saturated, and it's all, and there's so many other things that you can watch that are probably a lot more enjoyable for them,
yeah,
and probably safer as family viewing. Something like Slam City or Rock and Wrestling, yeah. You know.
I don't even think that I didn't even mean they were doing kids programming, more as stuff. I use my kids as an example, but people who watch the current stuff is, I think, where their target is. Let's get our current guys out there. That's who people are interested in watching on the network, which may be true, maybe it's not, where we kind of think, oh, we want to see the classic stuff. They seem to be approaching it as our network subscribers want to see our current people more. Yeah, and well, I just think that's the difference there.
That was the goal. They wanted to merge the legacies, and it's right. That's just very, very difficult in this youth demographic, because there's so many different things fragmenting them from being able to, you know, waste their time watching older shows, that they just really want to keep up with the Joneses. They don't want to watch WrestleMania 2, like Jordan was saying, or watch, you know, Over the Edge 1998. They don't want to watch those shows.
By the way, Swerve is pretty funny. I will say that.
I haven't a chance to watch the Swerve yet. Like, I got to check it out.
The chair buzzer trick. Oh, God. Yeah. That one.
It's one with Fandango and Heath Slater working, like, in a coffee shop. It shows more character from Fandango than he's ever seen on screen.
And the one with the old horny fan at the WrestleMania convention.
Yeah. Oh, I caught a piece of that too.
That was great. I love it when I don't remember which one. It may have been Diego. She wants him to sign her boob, and she goes in and does it. And the WWE rep, the girl, she just jumps in. No, no, no. I loved it.
That's hilarious. And anyway, so Barrios also talks about adding more videos on demand content to the network. You know, one thing that came out today, I think it was Meltzer, I don't know, that the WWE is thinking of doing a live show on a beach, kind of like Bash at the Beach 95. I think that'd be a good concept. And you know what I think, though, would be really cool? And then somebody said, oh, Sting should host it, which makes perfect sense. Be cool, like, for one day, Sting dresses old school, like Little Baby Reach.
I just got that... I just got that flashback of Sting and Davey Boy playing volleyball.
But I know.
Cheatham should host it.
A midget named Char comes in, and then they try to blow up their boat. The masters of the power bomb.
But that would be cool, like, if for one day Sting actually, like, dyed his hair blonde and
wore board
and,
shorts.
And put on a different color.
Dyed his hair blonde, he would look like Mickey Rourke.
Not with the face paint, though. All right. WWE is planning on releasing – now, here's a thing I wanted to talk about. This is actually pretty cool. WWE is planning on releasing a 3-month subscription card in retail stores that can be used without a credit card. Probably stick it on, like, those gift card kiosks or something.
Sure.
The next subscriber count would be released in the third quarter earnings, so we'll hear that again, end of September or whatever, end of October. Time for callers now. One caller asked about making more money with subscriptions versus pay-per-view, and Barrios said they're getting there. Wait a minute. They're getting there. Even though he said a few minutes earlier,
for the last decade they have,
that they've generated more revenue than the annual, but now he said,
the caller section of the conference call are the actual answers. Like, that's the real life answers, not the corporate hinky dinky.
Mario's defense, he's 400 years old and he was feasting on the souls of children right before he went on the air.
Just like toots. They were asked about social media. Barrio said they kill it at doing video. I don't want to hear a 70-year-old guy say they're killing something. They are involved with other brands in a new Facebook video revenue share campaign. Barrios touted their video work, and Vince called it a high-class problem. They are excited about SummerSlam, and Vince said SummerSlam is so much great content that they had to make it 4 hours.
Yeah, the Undertaker's entrance. That's all.
They said it feels like WrestleMania in August. They talked about working on new WWE Network features, bells and whistles. They're also happy with what Triple H has done with NXT, which we all know. Vince said they are confident with how talents are being developed, and it's an investment into their future. Parting ways, here we go. Parting ways with Hulk Hogan came up, and Vince just said he's no longer with the company, but it won't have any material effect on anything. I think that's his way of saying we're not Benoit-ing him and, like, deleting every single thing in the history of the company. Because if you deleted him, then they wouldn't exist.
And what kind of money is he bringing in anyway?
Nah, he's just there, you know?
Yeah.
If anything, T-shirts, probably. Yeah. I mean, that's about it, right?
They dump the Mega Power stuff, and who gets pissed off?
The Riffum, that was $4.99 on clearance, the Riffum shirts from the Holds Barred.
Is that what they were, $4.99?
Yeah, they were like $4.99.
Nice.
Scott's going to go order six of them.
I'm going to order six.
I do.
Damn you and your racism, Hogan.
Hulk Hogan's a racist, but Rip isn't.
But Rip isn't.
I do think that... that Hogan coming in right when the network launched had a little bit of significance to him because he was kind of like the representative of that older generation or the older type of era. And he was trying, you know, and then you have Cena in the fold and you bring Bret and Shawn back into the fold and all these other people to try to remind all the viewers, hey, you know, while you're watching all this current product, why don't you watch, you know, me do this WrestleMania with Andre the Giant, blah, 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 blah. So I think it kind of had a little bit of significance there, but I mean, let's be serious. How much significance did that really lend to WWE by this point with the network being around for a year and a half? Little to none.
Right.
You know?
So we'll have to wait and see. I think there's more fun network stuff to come. I do like a beach concept. I agree with JR that he said earlier in some of our conversations.
They need that so much.
Yeah, I think that MSG House show, that Saturday night, October 3rd, I think that will be on the network.
Yeah.
And that makes
fun. It's fun.
And I think it's because of Brock. So.
I want to ask you this, Scott. Do you miss kind of the mystery of house shows when you come back from a live, like when you go back to a syndicated show? It's like, oh, on this house show, the tag team titles were won by this team.
Oh, yeah.
Like with
absolutely,
I do. From Ric Flair and Prime
Time. Oh, absolutely, no doubt. And that's what made the Mags fun. That's what made getting PWI and the Wrestler and Inside. That's what made Mags fun, man.
I mean, the genie's out of the bottle already with all this. So it's not like, you know, watching house shows is such a shameful thing. But do you kind of miss that?
Yeah, I do. Yep. I also miss jobber squashes. There's a lot of things about 80s television wrestling that could be much more utilized now. But the Attitude Era, you know, and you know, this is no secret. There were a lot of drawbacks to the Attitude Era. That was one of them. Because the shows needed to be so hot because of the Monday Night War, jobbers were gone. They were pretty much exterminated. Unless, you know, Nitro had that scrub. What the hell was his name? Joe Gomez? Yes, Joe Gomez. And then, you know, Raw had the random, you know, Freddie Joe Floyd, which was, Floyd. Yes. And, you know, Ron Cumberledge and, you know, guys like that.
Talk about the house shows being aired. My one fear there is that they go around this conference call saying that one of our problem solvers is more content. And I mean, it sounds good on paper, but we already have like 13 to 12 hours of wrestling every week. Is the answer more content to try to get more viewers? I don't understand that.
Yes,
with the same guys though too.
Yes, yes. If you
Preach,
want to do archival content, that's cool.
There's only one problem solver. Tyson Tomko.
There's only one. All right,
Why don't we take a break? When we come back here on the main event, we'll continue chatting. Let's just we'll open the door. I'll throw some news bits out. Let's have some fun tonight. Yes, Cena broke his nose, blah, blah, blah. He got it fixed. Whatever, move on. And we get close to SummerSlam. And, of course, coming up and in a few weeks in Brooklyn. Well, he's going to have his first Bomoni Garden Square.
Oh, yeah.
Doctor and I are so pumped to see you. and we'll talk about anything else that comes to mind for the four of us. It is Willie. It is Reesh. It is JD. It is I. Back after this.
Never give up.
What you going to do, brother?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself and Scott Criscolo on The Mothership, The Place to Be Podcast, home of great interviews and our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you there, including Main Events, which features roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super Shows, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on the positives of the business. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave's Wrestling Culture podcast, our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance podcast starring myself and Pro Wrestling Only's Will, diving into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, The Kings of Sport featuring Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops. PTBN also proudly features Richard and the Mailman podcast, which specializes in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlacemanNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also home to the tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island in Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats, RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, Lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Good Will Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's tag teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brain Buster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode 40 of the Main Event. I am Scott Criscolo with Andrew Reich, Jordan Duncan, Steve Willey. PlacetoBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. The newest episode of the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Stephen Graham, Tim Livingston, and Parv talk about Ricky Martel. He's not a loser. And some of his greatest all-time opponents, Nick Bockwinkel, Harley Race, Buddy Rose, and the Blowaway Diet, Ric Flair, Stan Hansen, Terry Funk. I remember watching Rick Martel beat Jumbo Tsuruta to win the AWA World Heavyweight title, and then he lost it to Stan Hansen at the Meadowlands, kind of an odd place for an AWA card. But so check it out, 54th episode of the Pro Wrestling Super Show. JR and I are continuing our Vintage Vault refresh. In Your House number 2 from Nashville, Tennessee. Great Sean Jarrett match. Was there anything else good about that show? Check it out.
Back when Jeff Jarrett was not a moron.
Nope. and maybe a decent businessman. So anyway, check it out. Vintage Vault Refresh in Your House number 2. Ring of Honor TV Recap, Great Alternative with Aaron George. The PTB Calendar Correlation, Saturday Night's Main Event from July 29th, 1989. That was Adam Wilcox did that. The very first episode of the TJ McLoon Show featuring Matt Miller, Bleacher Report's NFL draft expert. And so there you go, TJ McAloon Show. Of course, you can listen to him on The Extra Point. He's the doctors and my NHL analyst, and we kind of have a combo because we have a great Bleacher Report analyst ourselves, good old Grant Hughes, our NBA guy. Glenn Butler with his Wednesday Walk Around the Web. The PTBN's excellent WWE Network Adventure number 1, an MSG house show from March 17th, 1975. And, of course, down the hall, episode 40 of the Kevin Kelly Show, Ring of Honor World Champion, Jay Lethal was with the guys.
Don't listen to that one. Don't listen to that one if you're a fan of Roadkill.
Yeah. a great interview.
Yeah, the wrestler.
Yeah,
really good interview.
Okay,
yeah, check it out. Really impressed me.
PlacemeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. And check us out on Facebook, Place to Be Nation, and like it, and then join some of our discussions. We do questions of the night. We have good banter, and we have good people. So check it out. So check us out on Facebook, Place to Be Nation. And, you know, click like, and then you can hop in on the discussion. We have questions of the night every night. We might do some live watches again.
One of the questions that was just asked, I don't know if it was today's or yesterday, was what got one guy who's not in the WWE would you like to see in there right now?
Ooh. I didn't see that one. That's
Cheeks. Tough question.
Cheeks.
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger. That's a good question.
I could get mine right now. Probably the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I'd love to see the Young Bucks against all those tag teams.
Fish and O'Reilly.
I wouldn't mind seeing CM Punk back, to be honest.
Well, I think, but yeah.
I'd love to see Randy Savage 1989 in there too.
There was
right. Is that's more likely? I think.
Does Brock Lesnar? What was the one? I think it was today.
Yeah.
Was Brock? Would you consider Brock Lesnar the greatest, or does he go on the list of greatest of all time?
Yeah, kind of. Where does he rank on your all-time greatest list?
Well, it depends. All-time greatest what? That's one of those ones you got to separate. Is he all-time greatest wrestler? No.
No.
No. No. All-time greatest money attraction?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's in the list, yeah.
Yep. But is he an all-time great wrestler? No. How many five-star matches has he had? Two? Three?
It depends on your range, you know, like with the Iron Man with Angle.
Iron Man with Angle. I think the four matches that stand out for me, Iron Man with Angle, WrestleMania 19 with Angle, him and Cena at Extreme
Rules. His first match back, yeah. Hell in a Cell with Undertaker.
This one with Eddie.
Oh, yeah, no, let's go too. I forgot about that.
Eddie Guerrero.
Is that five stars, though?
It's close.
Good match, but I don't know if it's five.
Five-star story.
Yeah.
The problem with Brock.
Goldberg?
No. Goldberg.
Him and Big Show. Yeah.
I was alive. Him and Punk at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a great one. 13.
Does he have enough? Does he have a long enough career to be considered?
Well, that's the case. That's the thing. So. Yeah, that's the thing. So, anyway, please go on to Place Me Nation, our Facebook page, and check out all the great input and all the great content and have fun with it. We do. And we have fun with some of the other posters. All right. Let's dive into some news and notes. We don't get to do this very often because we have a lot of other topics, but I'm going to kick around some news and just get guys' general stock on it. Let's see. Well, we talked earlier about John Cena's broken nose on Raw. I haven't watched it yet. I gotta watch it.
I hate
the picture afterwards. Oof.
I hate to be that guy. I don't
mangled.
I don't want to be Super Fan USA, but what a gutty effort by John Cena finishing that match. He finished 10 minutes of that last match with the broken nose.
Yeah.
He's not on the weekend house shows, and he will not be on Raw Monday.
And it wasn't one of those ones where, you know, it kind of looked like it was broken and it was bleeding, but it seemed like this thing looked like Rick Baker makeup job. This was awful.
And when
Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I was just thinking when it first happened, he was leaning over the corner and it looked like he was pouring a bottle of Kool-Aid out of his nose.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where I know people kind of get mad when they like try their best to get rid of any blood, and they kind of stopped the match and had the guy check on him and stuff, and obviously that wasn't scripted. It was like a legitimate thing, and it added to the match in this case, because like you could see the dude's face was disfigured, and to have the medic come in and check on him, and you know, they keep going and stuff, it just made the match better.
And because we're in this reality era now, you can play that into the SummerSlam match, like
give him the old Undertaker mask,
you know,
have him wear the Undertaker's old mask now.
I got it.
Here we go. This kind of answers a question that a few people I've heard ask about Brock and his deal and stuff. Regarding Brock working that house show at the Garden in October, it is the 3rd, by the way. Figure 4 Online, Figure 4 Wrestling Online, that's our good friend Brian Alvarez, notes that his new WWE contract, which includes an increase in pay, also calls for him to work more matches per year and work certain live events. So It does go both ways. He wanted more money. He wanted more T-shirts, which he's gotten, but he now has to actually work a little bit harder now. So, you know, not every show, but you know, he may be needed now to boost some of these house shows.
If you're making more money, you're going to have to take more dates. Yeah. It's probably part of the deal when he took it.
Yeah. So, I still think that house show is going to be on the network. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that's true. I think that's definitely going to happen. A sad story, but one that we seem to always mention with this person. We noted, Lords of Pain noted back on July 13th that WWE Hall of Famer Sonny, Tammy Sitch, was arrested on May 30th for DUI in Layton, Pennsylvania. Police stopped her in the parking lot of a local Walmart at 1:32 in the morning because they saw her enter the exit for the parking lot and hit a curb. Sonny reportedly failed a field sobriety test and had a blood alcohol level of 0.253, which pretty much means she's shit-faced.
Good Lord.
She was charged with two counts of DUI and two summary violations after the incident, one for a suspended license and one for careless driving. The Times News in Carbon County reports that Sonny is actually facing charges from three separate DUI incidents in the county.
Oh, God.
In addition to the May 30th incident, she was stopped at 9:35 a.m. on June 1st in Towamencing Township and stopped again following a crash on June 20th, also in Towamencing. Sonny was scheduled to appear at a hearing on Wednesday, yesterday, for the May 30th incident, but she did not show up. Due to the failure to appear, all charges have been forwarded for trial in a Carbon County court. Those charges include general impairment, driving under the influence, driving while operating privilege is suspended or revoked, and careless driving. Sonny's arraignment is scheduled for 8:30 a.m. on September 3rd. Arresting Officer Tyler Meek of the Mahoning Township Police Department said a bench warrant for her arrest is likely to be issued. Regarding the May 30th incident, Meek said Sonny failed a field sobriety test, so blood alcohol sample was drawn, and 2.253. The legal limit is 0.08.
Of course she failed a sobriety test. She was in Walmart at 1:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Of course she's drunk. You don't go there sober at that time.
She was so drunk, she got a DUI and probably drove the next morning and got another one.
I know, and hadn't drank since.
So, yeah, I mean,
that's a Wisconsin brunch is what that's called.
And Walmart at 1:30 in the morning, you see a lot of Wisconsin 26s. So, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Is that one of those
with
backyards
with
their kids. Drive?
All right. We know also from Lords of Pain via PW Insider, Dave Scherer, that despite expectations, WWE does not currently have plans to use Sting at SummerSlam. The Observer confirms these reports. The original idea was to introduce Sting as a surprise about a week or two out, likely as the mystery third partner in Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose versus the Wyatt family. Sting was told a while back that he would be on the show in a six-man and was even mentioned in a SummerSlam TV commercial that WWE had cut more than a week ago. Sting, 56, has gotten himself into ridiculously good shape for his age. At one point recently, Sting was informed that plans had changed and they would not be using him on the show. No word yet on what this means for the six-man match with Reigns, Ambrose, and the Wyatts, but all elements of the original angle are still in place. WWE had the idea that Sting and Ambrose teaming with Reigns would maybe get a good reaction for Reigns in New York City, which is going to be a tough crowd for him. Are we past that now, though?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I mean, I think it's like a lesser version of Cena, where he's, no matter what, for the rest of his career, he's going to have a pocket of people who just boo him because of the 2015 Royal Rumble. Yeah. But, man, the guy's one of the best babyface workers in the company right now. Like, get over it. You know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree 100%. I think it's time to move on.
He's not getting booed on Raw. There were some mild boo birds at Battleground.
He'll get booed at pay-per-views, WrestleMania, like, the night after that. That's where you'll hear it the most, probably.
And like Cena when the boo birds came to him, he's not stinking up the joint.
No, not at all.
That's the most – like Batista was stinking up the joint. That's why they turned on him so quickly. With Roman, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, Roman's a good worker.
Now, Sting is there. I mean, Sting is going to be signing autographs, I believe, the day before SummerSlam through WWE.
I think that story never made any sense, though. I mean, Rowan's been hurt, and I don't know. I think maybe they got cut because it's only 4 hours. To do an Undertaker and a Sting entrance, where are you going to fit anything else if you only got 4 hours?
Yeah. Well, AJ Lee recently made a Comic-Con appearance. People reportedly close to her note that she's just not interested in taking any bookings right now. However, other people looking to book the former WWE Divas Champion are reporting that they were told her daily fee is $15,000.
Good for her.
plus business class travel and hotels.
There you go. She doesn't need to. Why bother?
Yeah.
So, like, if, you know, between her money and Punk's money, stay home.
You know, right. You know what Ric Flair calls that? A night at the casino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's going to take the bookings where it's an event that she wouldn't mind going to in the first place.
Right.
So if she can get paid, go somewhere she'd like to go, heck yeah, do it.
Yeah. Make your fee incredibly high. If someone wants to pay it for you, well, good for you.
Right. We're going to have her on episode 41 as soon as Andrew kicks in his chair.
Yeah.
She's going to be in the main event. Andrew, you got to pay my portion because I got to get eye medicine for my kid.
Just get it at Walmart at 1:30 in the morning.
I know someone who'll drive
you. Different kind of medicine.
Someone will drive you. Give plenty of Wisconsin 19s.
You're going to have to register for one of those brand name coupons on the hotline in the middle of the night. That'll be fun.
The WCW hotline? 1-900-909-9900.
And by the way, do you have prostate cancer?
Lee Marsh is going to come up. Here's your weasel medicine. Thanks, Lee.
Oh, God. What an asshole.
Seriously. I have breaking news.
I have a shitty weasel joke. Oh, God.
Is he dead?
Yes.
Lee Marsh was dead.
No, his sense of humor died in 1998. He died a couple of years ago.
Okay.
I didn't know Lee Marshall had a sense of humor.
You know, yeah, right.
I'm looking through the rest of these news stories, and there's really nothing much more to really go about. Can we
talk about Global Force TNA?
Nope. You know what we're going to talk about?
Please.
Nope.
Please.
I think it's time to bring it back after a couple weeks hiatus.
Oh, no.
It's now time to open up the gold book. Talk about the oral history of Total Nonstop Action. However, we're going to do it a little differently. Instead of me just rimaging off, ripping off crappy stories, I'm going to throw them out to you guys and enhance them.
Oh, great.
Let's all get into this. Let's make this interactive.
I really think we should do some prep work. And, Scott, you should do like a, did this really happen in TNA or not?
If Jackie Gata is in one of those stories, it's going to be incredibly advanced.
Okay. 2005 we're on right now.
Oh, definitely Jackie Gata time.
For those keeping score, because I know someone is, 2005.
Schmuck.
Let me repeat that. 2005.
Schmuck, schmuck.
2005. Okay. All right. Remember the first pay-per-view that year was Against All Odds, gentlemen.
Yes, Against All Odds. That company is still around. Yes.
This pay-per-view opened with Scott Hudson and Shane Douglas conducting promos for the main event outside doors. Okay. TNA brought in NASCAR commentator Jeff Hammond to team up with 3Live Crew for a match. He tagged with E.G. James, who worked an entire match against Kaz and Michael Shane before picking up the pinfall. Hammond went on to host a weekly segment on Impact. Really?
Solid
stuff. Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Willie?
What do I think?
I mean,
that Jeff Jarrett's been in bed with NASCAR for a long time, and that's why Hermie Sadler is still Hermie. You know, they make fun of Kevin Kelly for being called Hermie by The Rock. There's an actual Hermie who's been
Mr. and Mrs. Sadler.
Kevin Kelly. This is unbelievable. Kevin Kelly's not even the worst Hermie in professional wrestling.
Yes. No, he's fine.
Abyss?
He might be the best Hermie.
Mm. Abyss beat Jeff Hardy in a Full Metal Mayhem match, TNA's version of a TLC, to become the number one contender for the NWA World title. The final spot was supposed to have Abyss press slam Hardy through four stacked tables. Abyss actually threw Hardy over the top rope, and he barely went through one. Pissed off by the blown spot, Hardy no-sold the move and started drop-kicking tables while Abyss revived.
That was the crystal meth kicking in late.
Thus the reason that Jeff Hardy left in 2003 from WWE.
The funny thing is, the way I picture it is like a standing dropkick, like a bunch of tables coming off the ropes at him.
Oh, by the way, Abyss never cashed it in because Hardy beat him at the next pay-per-view.
I'm solid sorry, stuff. Like, this, the guilty pleasure for me is Jeff Hardy in TNA.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is a total guilty pleasure.
He was in some crazy violent matches.
He was throwing his body around. He had...
I still love the Monsters Ball match from Bound for Glory that year, the first Bound for Glory. That has Hardy doing the most insane spot you'll ever see.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It was just a swanton way off the top of the stage onto the table. It was insane.
Is anyone's guilty pleasure Willow? No.
No.
I meant the movie, not the character.
Did that have midgets in it? Ugh.
Yeah. Speaking of midgets,
one of them named Shark.
Was it a bunch? Were there any garbage cans in Willow?
There's that. Remember that 20-minute basketball scene in the movie Willow?
Yes.
They're playing basketball.
Jeff Jarrett faced Kevin Nash in a match. That's just funny enough, right?
Yeah. And that was going to be the main event of Bound for Glory, but
where he would lose the title, he would lose the title if he used his trademark guitar. During the match, Jarrett pulled out a case containing a cello, the neck of the neck of which snapped as he prepared to hit Nash with it. Despite Jarrett using the cello case to crush Nash's knee, the referee wouldn't let Nash hit Jarrett with the body of the cello. Three ref bumps, a run-in by Billy Gunn, a run-in by Six-Pack, a run-in by BG James, a belt shot, a low blow later, and Jeff Jarrett wins.
So basically clean.
Yanni would have been proud.
basically clean win. Yeah. Billy Gunn debuted in the middle of this match by hitting Nash with a steel chair. Despite helping Jarrett, he got absolutely no reaction from the crowd. Really? TNA debuted Gunn before they had a name prepared for him, forcing him to walk around in a no introduction needed, you already know my name t-shirt. Sounds like something Jordan would wear. When he used the
only
name
to Walmart at 1:30 in the morning.
1:30 in the morning. When he imagine
that's where my people are.
Excuse me, where are the good and plenties?
I need to buy medicine.
Yeah, when he used the name The New Age Outlaw, TNA had to stop him because WWE, of course, owned that trademark. His next choice, just The Outlaw, didn't last long either.
It's shocking that The New Age Outlaw couldn't
I know.
Pass.
You just picture him backstage. What about New Age Outlaw? No.
How about Billy Guns?
How about Bill Gunn?
How about Billy's guns?
How about Major Guns?
How about Billy shoots him up.
Billy shoots him up. All right. Other shenanigans in 2005. TNA signed Dave Hebner to a backstage role after WWE released him for... Wasn't he selling stuff out of his trunk?
Yeah, he was stealing merchandise.
He was stealing t-shirts out of Triple H's lanai. Dave made three bizarre on-screen appearances where he was shown doing... Oh, yeah, he's doing showing nothing but taking notes. TNA never explained this, usual, after his last appearance, and nobody ever mentioned him again.
He was studying for the Place to Be Nation trivia tournament.
Yes. Oh, that's this the one? Under...
I'm going to beat Dennis Nunes.
Man, I better remember this match or Dave Poulin's going to crush me. Let's see. Monty Brown got insanely over with his above-average promo skills and entertaining alpha male persona, which I like Monty Brown.
The Pounce.
After testing him with a main event push that the fans got behind, TNA had him feud with Triton. We'll get to him in a minute.
Oh, gosh. I remember him.
And then turning Brown heel is Jeff Jarrett's goon. He stayed in the mid-card for the rest of his TNA run. And
yeah, wasn't that the one where DDP was told he was going to job to Monty Brown and he no-showed?
Yes.
Yes, that I remember.
TNA spent several weeks hyping the debut of Triton, who was former red shirt security goon and former Johnny Fairplay bodyguard Ryan Wilson. Triton was basically a cheesy Terminator. He was a cheeksy Terminator ripoff with sunglasses, a leather jacket, and a terrible variation of Brock Lesnar's F5 that he called the T3. His only feud was with Monty Brown. The feud itself consisted of Triton coming out at the end of Brown's matches and pointing at him. They had an awful 5-minute match at Destination X, and right before the finish, the lights went out. When the lights came back on, Triton was nowhere to be seen, and a masked Midian took his place. Because they both looked alike. TNA never explained this, and Triton left the company soon afterwards.
Was Midian naked?
Probably might have added to the excitement of the show.
Dave Hebner was taking furious notes through all of this.
Abyss was naked. He was sitting next to Bob Ryan.
He was naked inside.
Jeff Hardy was drop-kicking tables naked back
then. Yes. He was drop-kicking cheeks. WCW jobber Hector Garza received a massive push that was cut short after he was busted for steroids.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, steroids for Hector Garza?
He had beaten AJ Styles. He was going to get a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
Heck there.
Yeah. Mexican wrestler Shocker looked to take Garza's place as Tanae and West put him over huge despite zero crowd reaction when he debuted.
Well, he looked like he was 200 years old. If you remember.
He did. Yes. This is we're still in the Fox Sports network right here.
Yep. Yeah. To be fair, though, Shocker was huge in Mexico at that point.
Oh, yeah, he was a big deal.
He was a huge star.
But you put him on American TV, he looked like a grandfather wrestling.
Right.
Yeah, he actually, he was given an X Division title match and then disappeared, apparently for no showing. On the bio TNA put up for Shocker on its website, the company said he had starred in a fairly popular fast food commercial playing regularly on TV at the time. The only problem with this, he was masked in the commercial, so no, it was him.
He was masked for a reason. He's not very other man.
I wouldn't want to look at him while having my Big Mac. It was pretty much what it is.
His nickname was like 1,000% Guapo.
You ever see those Hardee's commercials with like Paris Hilton where she's like dressing all sexy and dancing on a car?
They should have had Jeff.
They should have had Shocker do that.
They should have had Jeff Hardy do that.
Just drop kick
the door.
Jeff Hardy doing a Hardee's commercial.
Tracy Trinity and Johnny Fairplay feuded over who would be Dusty Rhodes' personal assistant. Come on, baby. God rest your soul. After some very unfunny Survivor scavenger hunt skits at Final Destination 05. Come on, JR. This is right up your – JD, this is right up your alley. Yeah. Dusty gave them – Dusty? Your wife gave them the task of signing a new tag team to TNA. The teams would have a match at Destination X, and the winning team's manager would become Dusty's new assistant. Fairplay would previously try to sign established TNA stars such as AMW and Dustin Rhodes. Didn't sign a team and had to sit out. Tracy and Trinity, however, scored two teams that TNA hyped throughout Impact broadcast and advertised as a selling point for Destination X. Phi Delta Slam, a couple of obese men in their mid-30s doing a frat
boy
thing.
So bad.
And the Harris
This is bringing back memories. Mm-hmm. They were dressed like cowgirls, and they were on like a little like a bed top in the back of the truck. You remember? It was like full with hay. Does anybody remember this?
Vaguely.
Tracy and Trinity. Tracy was a guilty pleasure.
They were Dusty Rhodes' like chauffeurs. They were his chauffeurs and hunting buddies in real life, which is why they were hired. That's funny.
1,000% guapo.
Yep. Dusty booked a complex match, really, for the X Division title at Destination X. It started out as a tag team match featuring AJ Styles and Elix Skipper going up against Christopher Daniels and Ron Killings, which actually sounds like a good match. After Killings was pinned, the match became a triple threat. Daniels and AJ survived the triple threat and had a singles Ultimate X match. During that match, Daniels and AJ inadvertently knocked out the ref. AJ got up and retrieved the belt, but was attacked by Daniels, who took the belt from him. The ref saw Daniels with the belt and declared him the winner.
That's a typical Dusty Rhodes book match right there.
Yeah, but AJ and Daniels at this point were fucking tearing it down.
Yeah, they were red hot. No doubt about it. That was a positive of this year. Positive this year. The Lockdown pay-per-view debuted under Dusty's tenure in April of 2005. The idea originally came as a joke during a booking session in which he sarcastically suggested that every match on the card be a cage. Dixie, unaware he was joking, said, "I love that idea," in her stupid fucking jeans. Lockdown became a staple of the pay-per-view.
Jeans, G-E-N-E-S or J-A-S?
Yes, yeah, that too.
Both.
Became a staple of the TNA pay-per-view as a result, though the company did the smart thing in 2013 by abandoning the all matches in a cage format and limited the gimmick to specific matches. Of course, sadly... Oh, sorry, Rich.
Absolute must-watch AJ and Abyss in the main event of that show.
Mm.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Sadly, this is all seriousness, sadly, the very first Lockdown pay-per-view is remembered for being Chris Candido's last match. In the opening match of the show, he landed wrong after taking a dropkick from Sonny Siaki.
Yeah, he busted up his leg.
Fractured several bones in his leg. He died days later of a blood clot stemming from surgery on his leg. His last actual appearance for TNA saw him celebrating the Naturals tag title win on the Impact episode after the pay-per-view.
So creepy.
Yeah, it was the day after he died.
Yeah, they put it on the
taping schedule.
And he was celebrating with the belt about winning the tag belt, and then they showed a still of the same exact image, and it said, "In memory of Chris Candido."
Yep, and they did the memory of. And, of course, they did a shortly after that at WWE's One Night Stand at Hammerstein when they did the list, when they did that, when they did the whole piece on all the on all the ECW guys that had died since, you know,
Cronus,
ECW under.
Cronus and guys like that, yeah.
Yep, the Hammerstein crowd started chanting Chris Candido because it only happened like a few days before or maybe a week before. So that's a sad moment. After the death of, but then we get back to not funny but kind of stupid, and it's kind of fitting with a news story from earlier. After the death of Chris Candido, TNA refused to pay the money it owed Candido to his then girlfriend, common law wife Tammy Sitch, which was technically legal since they were not officially married. Terry Taylor eventually sent her a ham dinner.
That
can't be true.
It says that Terry Taylor sent her a ham dinner.
Oh,
which she then tried to trade in at Walmart. Because that's what you do, Steve.
She probably ate it naked on a webcam.
That's Jeff Steve Willie to pick up Wisconsin 36s. Ham dinner.
Glazed in bourbon.
Glazed in bourbon.
Actually, a ham dinner is a Wisconsin 10 itself.
Oh, God.
Oh, my.
Oh, ham dinner, baby. To further exploit Candido's death for fun and profit, especially the profit, TNA held a tournament for the Candido Cup. Several tag teams comprised of a veteran teaming with a future star competed for the Candido Cup trophy and a future tag team title shot.
Was the cup full of ham?
Yes. Ham and cheats. Sean Waltman and Alex Shelley won the tourney, but guess what? Waltman no-showed the pay-per-view when he and Shelley were entered into a four-way for the tag titles. And actually, Waltman did not just no-show. He disappeared for a whole week, despite having been at a relative's house only about 2 hours away from where the pay-per-view was. His brother Johnny was subbed in at the pay-per-view as Shelley's partner, and they lost.
Yeah, Shelley was still with Generation Next, I think, at Ring of Honor by this point. Yes.
By the way, AJ Styles finally ended Jeff Jarrett's nearly year-long reign of terror by winning at Hard Justice. To capitalize on the triumphant victory, guess what? He lost to Raven 35 days later.
Yeah, that also had specialist. That also had special enforcer Tito Ortiz, I think. Yes.
Who was on TNA like 30 years.
Who had just gotten his ass kicked by Chuck Liddell.
Yeah. May 27th saw the final episode of Impact air on the Fox Sports Network. TNA was very close to signing a deal with Steve Willey's favorite network, WGN.
Playboy?
Favorite network. Playboy? No, that's your favorite network.
Spice Channel?
To the point where it was expected that they would announce a deal at Slammiversary. Negotiations fell through. TNA was stuck with no TV deal. TNA wound up putting new episodes of Impact on their website for fans to download or stream. When their servers couldn't handle the traffic, TNA asked fans to illegally download the episodes from BitTorrent websites.
That was true. I remember.
But let me tell you this.
It's like, if you can't go on our website, go to Kazaa.
But let me tell you, that was the area, that was the shows, one of them was No Surrender and the other was Unbreakable. Those Impact shows where they didn't have the TV contract yet, those were some of the best Impacts they ever had. They had one great match after another because it was mostly X Division stuff.
Yep,
you know,
they brought
and they
Samoa Joe in, Roderick
a
Strong,
a lot of Ring of Honor matches. Guys like Roderick Strong. Yeah, Austin Aries. They were killing it, man.
Yes,
and like five people, Andrew Reich and I were the only ones who saw
yes.
them crash the website,
and that was enough to crash their website.
Yes. And then Kazaa came in and everybody's computer melted.
Come for the hams, stay for
the
wrestling.
What's the other one? I'm trying to think of all of them. It was Kazaa. LimeWire. That was the other one.
LimeWire, yeah.
What was the other more popular ones? It was another one.
Napster was the original.
Well, Napster was the original, yeah. I don't remember.
There was Frostwire, too.
What's that?
There was Frostwire, which is basically just like LimeWire.
I never heard of that one. I remember LimeWire, Kazaa.
Well, QuickTime, but QuickTime never did torrents, so couldn't really, unless you could gimmick it to, you know, use the app. You know? People weren't as smart back then.
Anyway, back to Raven. Speaking of things that don't work, held the title throughout the summer, then dropped the title back to Jarrett via an America's Most Wanted heel turn at a house show for another promotion. Remember this? I definitely remember this. It was for Scott D'Amore's Border City Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because D'Amore was booking TNA. Yeah.
Yes, TNA hyped the holy hell out of it. Remember this? The controversy in Canada in the first of several attempts at ripping off the Montreal Screwjob. When TNA landed its Spike TV deal, it decided to ignite a Kevin Nash versus Jeff Jarrett feud for the title as the main event of its first version of WrestleMania, which was, of course, Bound for Glory. On the day of the event, Nash hurt himself picking up his son's toy chest. Sounds like you, JD.
Oh, and
rumor was that it was full of weights.
I think it was full of bullshit.
Yeah, right. So he was out. TNA solved this by holding a battle royal that night to determine a new number one contender. Rhino, who had been booked mainly as a mid-carder to this point and had already been booked on the card in a hardcore match, won the battle royal. He went on to win his hardcore match and pinned Jarrett to win the belt in the main event. Rhino won three matches in the same night and picked up the NWA world title to boot. So naturally, TNA followed up on this amazing story and built momentum by...
giving him a hand.
Having Jarrett win the belt back 2 days later and an Impact taping. Yeah. Yeah, and shuffling Rhino back down to the mid-card.
But Bound for Glory, the first one, great show.
Well, speaking of, at Bound for Glory 2005, TNA booked an I'm going to crush your dreams here, Rish. Okay. TNA booked an Ultimate X match to crown a number one contender for the X Division title. Since this wasn't a title match, TNA officials hung the old Sesame Street X from the center instead of a belt.
That fucking
As Michael belt. Shane and Chris Sabin... what?
That fucker fell.
Yep. As Michael Shane and Chris Sabin were both shimmying on the rope. That's what JD does at work. He shimmies. The X suddenly fell down.
This caused your singles when you come see me at work.
Yes. This caused the match to be stopped for several minutes as officials hung it back up. Soon after the match restarted, it fell off again. Realizing where this match was going, Petey Williams improvised by catching the X, even kneeling underneath and seemingly praying for it to drop. Good improvisation, to be quite honest with you. But soon after the match restarted, that was not the planned finish, but TNA awarded him the win anyway and said, fuck it. A rematch was held on the Impact after the pay-per-view, and Petey Williams won, which suggested that he was supposed to probably win that match anyway. So, TNA accidentally cut to Mike Tenay and Don West, clearly reading from a script during an episode of Impact.
Yes.
That's tremendous. The Nielsen Corporation, this is the final note of 2005. The Nielsen Corporation offered to buy TNA from Panda Energy in May of 2005 for $10 million. Morphoplex, which was a major TNA sponsor, offered Panda Energy. What's that?
Is that a transformer? Morphoplex?
I think it's your daughter's eye medicine. Oh, no, I don't know. More than the eye medicine. She's got the Morphoplex.
Get her Morphoplex!
Get her Morphoplex! Don't let her have any ham. Anyway, Morphoplex offered Panda Energy $20 million later in the month for TNA. Good old Don Hunter, Dixie's immensely brilliant business father, said no to both of them. And that, my friends, ends 2005.
I would like to say one thing is that we laugh it off as a stupid TNA move to have a guy beat the established star and then lose to him in the rematch when Rhino did that to Jeff Jarrett. But when Kevin Owens and John Cena do the same thing, we seem to excuse it.
Everyone thinks it's great. And also, because we laugh a lot at the stupid things, and they did quite a number of stupid things.
This is probably their best year, though.
Wrestling, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Wrestling-wise, I think 2005, maybe 2006, was their best years. I mean, AJ, Joe, Daniels was the three-way at Unbreakable on September 11th. That was an incredible match. And then, you know, I was talking about a couple other ones, like the Monsters Ball from Bound for Glory. They had this one called Elimination X, and I remember Daniels I think Daniels and Joe won it, and it was just a really great match. And then Joe and AJ at Turning Point, and then there was another one called – it was Jarrett and America's Most Wanted versus Team 3D and Rhino, and it was like an Extreme Rules type of thing. Mm-hmm. And there was just a lot of really, really good stuff. Chris Sabin, Petey Williams was the X Division champion for a little while. There's really some great stuff there if you really want to fish it out.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And ham,
so,
lots of
the
ham.
DVDs at that point too,
and lots of ham.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Joe was there, so yes.
And well, speaking of Samoa Joe, he will be one of the centerpieces of our next chapter on the next episode of Main Event when we go to 2006.
I can argue that TNA in 06 was probably better than WWE.
I was going to suggest that just a second ago that, like, boy, I wonder, you know, 05, 06, I was probably more interested in TNA. I was
that
really all in on Ring of Honor at that point.
Ring of Honor was so freaking good at that point.
I was not watching WWE at all, I don't believe.
Yeah. Well, let's see if you, on our next episode, we'll see if things are quite memorable. Because there was some pretty stupid stuff in 2006 as well. Yeah, sure. Anyway, we'd like to thank our friends at LOL TNA. Because they're usually help
and
us out. Year,
and 10 years later, TNA, they're in such great shape.
Precisely.
Yeah, it's going to be Bigfoot's making an appearance at some point on Impact.
The
monster truck?
Well, no. They need to. Well, Bigfoot needs to go somewhere where no one will see him. So.
Yeah, they're going to take a little knock at Destination America in a few weeks.
But can I? You know, Steve and I were talking about this, the Global Force stuff, and I don't want to spoil the tapings, but it's like, if they did the alliance angle and the WWF wins, and then they say, okay, now WCW is going to go on the road. And it's like, why? you just killed everything that you tried to build. I wish I was praying that Jeff Jarrett wasn't that stupid, but I was wrong. He wanted his Randy the Ram Robinson moment at Slammiversary, and he sold his own promotion down the river to TNA to do it. How sad. How fucking sad is that?
Fucking sad.
He is so desperate to get people to notice this promotion. When he was in Wisconsin, when Brett Carlson and I went to the show at the Timber Rattlers minor league single-A stadium with 400 of our closest friends, they had an article in the newspaper the next morning, and he said basically he was doing this in reverse. He wanted everyone – He wanted to start from the very bottom, not just go straight to TV and build up a grassroots effort. And part of that was because he couldn't get a TV deal, obviously. I mean,
right.
If he could get right away, he would.
Yeah.
So it seemed like a smart idea. He had like a combination of local guys, like very local guys, you know, kind of
like Brett Carlson himself had two matches on the show.
Yes. I wrestled and then, Jim Duggan.
And then
a
couple of people from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, you know, some people, like a Ring of Honor guy like Tommaso Ciampa, I think is his name.
Former, you know, he's out of Milwaukee now. They brought some Chicago guys in, like
some
Cabana.
Lucha guys.
Yeah, they kept it regional, and then they had their guys, their national guys, like, you know, the former Justin Gabriel, PJ Black, the, you know, Gallows, and Carl Anderson. And, like, I got it. I got what they were doing. And then they're just not – I feel like he's just throwing stuff at the wall.
I felt like they just decided, okay, fuck it. We got it. We're going to go with name recognition. And they thought TNA was the basket to put their eggs in, and they got
it's
it all.
So bizarre because 100% of people know that they're not going anywhere.
And Here's the thing about TNA, and no matter how much I even try to defend their good things, you got to admit it. People know what TNA is, but they know it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
They know it because it's failed so many times, and it's still around like a cockroach. You know, one of these days, the cockroach is going to get crushed. And I just don't want Global Force to die with it because Jeff Jarrett had a fucking eureka moment that didn't work out. You know, and it just – you got to be careful when you're trying to build, like Steve says, from the ground up. And then you kind of throw this at, you know, in the air and say, oh, I hope this works out, you know, because everything's on the line here. You know, Lucha didn't do that. You know, they didn't associate themselves with a television contract, you know, praying that it works out. You know, they had their deal with El Rey through AAA. And if it doesn't work, you know, AAA's not going to die. You know, and if you and their talents can, after the tapings, they can go work for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or Ring of Honor, and they could just come right back. You know, and TNA and Global Force is the exact opposite. It's just, it's disappointing. I just don't want two promotions to die because of one stupid mistake.
Well, there were a lot of stupid mistakes in this promotion's history.
Yeah.
So
great end here. Great, really.
Yes,
great
we will continue.
We started with a stupid mistake. We ended with a stupid mistake.
Precisely.
Let's go to Walmart.
Let's go to Walmart and get some ham. All right. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And guess what? It'll be right before SummerSlam. So we will have our SummerSlam preview on our next episode, the Tom Seaver episode, Steve Willey, of the main event, the franchise. And we'll have some more fun. We'll obviously have a more full card. And we'll see what the scoop is for Brooklyn. So, Steve Willey. For Jordan Duncan, for Andrew Reich, I'm Scott Griscola. Been in the main event. Have some ham.
Watch how much you drink.
I have nothing else to say to that.
How much you drink with it.
And how much you drink with it. Have a good 2 weeks.
Okay, now excuse me, guys. I have to get on Pop TV and watch Paragon Pro Wrestling featuring PPW World Champion and NXT jobber Jesse Sorensen.
That's a lot of peas to pop, right, Brad?
Bull Dempsey should be champion of something and not ham eating.
Next to your fire.